Welcome to Moon Harbor Heroes. Today's issue is Faces, issue 63, Back to the 9-to-5. On the cover, Inky, Lighthammer, and Brian stand together in a classic hero group pose. The boardwalk around them is a chaotic image of people running and speedster streaks zipping around the cover. We turn the page and our story begins. This issue opens on a full-page shot of Brian, and we see you just like standing in a void in the middle of this page, and we can see the outline of the phoenix behind you. And at the top of this page, it says, Hero File Update. And we're going to talk about some parts of your new playbook. So I think we get a subtitle that shows the name of the playbook, The Bonded. And let's walk through this.
All right. The Bonded. You are never alone. Sometimes it's hard to remember where you stop and the entity you're bonded to remains. It's a constant struggle, but now you can do the impossible. Fight the good fight and save the world, even if you aren't always the one calling the shots.
And this may come as a huge surprise, but Brian has bonded with the Phoenix. So let's...
He has?
Yeah, I didn't give you a heads up on that. Oh, no. Yeah, that's your character now. Deal with it. We're going to be skipping over a lot of this as this is a playbook change, but the focus and foible. Your bond has its own strengths and weaknesses, which influence your own powers. And you choose one label for the focus of the Phoenix and one for the foible. What have you picked for those?
Right. So, for the Smiling Phoenix, I have picked as his focus the danger, and his foible is savior.
All right. And while you have this playbook, you may only lock these labels if they are at +3 for the focus or -2 for the foible. It's a really neat rule. We're going to be skipping over most of the backstory question because we know how you got bonded. But I am going to ask one of the relationships questions. Your bond doesn't trust blank and thinks you shouldn't either.
I think that's Lighthammer.
Yeah, that feels right.
Fair. And I do want to, I'm not going to do the effects of the influence, but I do want to ask the question. Do you trust your bond?
Do I trust my bond? Do I trust my bond? Let's see. No.
That seems reasonable. And with the bonded moves, you automatically get My Way or the Highway. What other two are you picking?
Right, and just to quickly share the effect of this move, it says, when you and your bond are at odds, roll plus superior. On a 10+, your bond gives in to you. Erase a control point and take a +1 forward. 7-9, you reach an impasse. If you follow your bond's lead, erase a control point. We haven't explained control points yet, but we'll get to that. Lead. If you take the lead instead, mark a control point and take +1 forward. On a miss, the bond demands you follow. If you resist, mark 2 control points. I didn't follow that at all.
Basically, this is how we settle disagreements between you and the Phoenix. A quick overview on control points. You have 5 boxes to mark control points. This is how much control your bond has over you at any one time. When it maxes out, your bond gets influence over you, and you lose influence over it, and then your bond takes you over for a time. When time passes, you remove a control point and explain why you and your bond are getting along. So basically, the lower that is, the more control you have. The higher it is, the more control Phoenix has.
Which makes sense.
Yep. And your other two moves.
All right, so I have picked You Won't Like Me When I'm Angry. So I'm so entwined with my bond that my emotions affect it, and if I mark angry as the result of a powerful blow, I can directly engage the one responsible as if I rolled a 10+ if I give my bond a control point.
That's fantastic.
And the other one I am choosing for now is We Are One. When I let my bond take control to help me achieve something difficult, I may mark a control point to roll directly engage a threat, unleash your powers, or defend someone. A miss is treated as a 7-9, but the GM will choose for you, and your bond acts in a fashion that terrifies both you and others.
Oh, that's so good.
This is going to be great.
That is really good.
I love this. And with that, let's jump into the bond section.
Right. The core feature here, the bond, the entity bonded with you, well, with me, the phoenix, it grants me its power through
energy manipulation.
What happens when I lose control? My body will begin acting independently of my will, and the only way I can regain control is through sheer force of will. Agenda. Your bonded entity has its own goal to serve the order of raw power for ill or good, no matter what. And what that means is whenever a opportunity is presented to serve this goal, I can take that opportunity and mark potential, or I can reject it and give a control point, or take a control point, receive one.
Delightful. I love this playbook. This is going to be exciting. And is there any other questions we have or anything else we want on this page?
For the readers, this was written by Lauren Peterson of Nerds on a Roll. So shout out to Lauren. Thank you. This playbook is awesome.
From there, we turn the page and we start with our first panel being an overhead shot of the Moon Harbor boardwalk.
God damn it. It's a fucking beach episode.
Yep. And in this panel, we see crowds of people running scared. And we see someone in a very sleek pink and black, like, super suit looking thing standing in the middle of this boardwalk. And they're holding, like, with their arm around the neck of a man in a business suit. We then cut to one of our team members. Who do we want to put the spotlight on first here?
I am hiding behind one of those carnival games, this squirt water gun at the targets things.
What is your, like, hero outfit nowadays?
Right now, I don't have anything special on, but I think in the next panel, I'm going to sort of hold my hand up to myself, and my sort of robot suit is just going to appear around myself from out of the vacuum.
Excellent. I think we get this shot, like, of you disappearing, and then like, past you, we can see a closer up of the woman in the supersuit. And we see this woman who is wearing a pink cowboy hat and this, like, black and pink supersuit. And the man she's holding hostage, we can see she has a, like, knife in one hand, an arm around his her other arm around his neck, is a, like, city councilman. Probably someone we've never heard the name of in Moon Harbor, and probably someone that I forgot to write down a name for, so I'm just not going to name. And you can hear her in a fairly thick southern accent yelling out, there's no way you're going to catch me. Just give up now. Where do we see Lighthammer and Inky in this scene? Let's just get you all, like, fictionally positioned.
I'm definitely just, like, in the middle of the crowd. Like, the crowd is, like, splitting around me as I'm just facing off against this costumed figure.
Excellent.
Very, like, stoic and, like, holding the hammer, like, probably pointed pretty much straight forward.
Awesome. And Inky.
I'm sitting on the top of a nearby building, and I've got a bit of a costume change. I'm wearing, like, armor made from vines.
Oh, and fantastic.
Yeah, and it's, like, a very blocky look.
Can I suggest the building you're on is, like, the Arcade Funhouse on the boardwalk?
Sure. And I'm sitting with my legs crossed and my staff in my lap, and I'm like surveying the scene.
Excellent.
In that case, I'm going to be making hand signals to Enki to be like, flanker.
And I think we get the panels of these hand signals, and then another panel of Enki, and then we turn the page, and we get a editor's note that says, a few days earlier. And Enki, what have you been spending the last couple days generally up to? I think when we last saw you, you were kind of, it was after that conversation with Gaia. I know a lot of things were revealed there. What have you been working on?
So I haven't been sleeping, that's for sure. I think I've mostly been sitting and standing vigilant, but I also spent some time tinkering with my new armor and the staff in the forge that Daisy helped me set up.
Okay, excellent. So
the staff is now more ornate than it used to be.
Excellent. Spending so much time like right in the proximity of Gaia, I would like you to roll plus freak. On a hit, you're going to be allowed to ask me one question about the world around you, and I'll answer it honestly. On a 10 plus, you can ask two. On a miss, you can ask one, but, you know, there will be consequences.
And that's a 10.
That is a 10. If you don't know both of your questions now, you can feel free to ask one now and hold one to ask later.
Which list could I choose them from?
These are just open questions, as if you had used, like, your dark visions.
Oh, okay.
It's about the world around you, something related to Gaia or the, like, Null universe.
Okay. I think I'm gonna hold them, because I have to think about it for a second.
Okay, cool. I imagine, like, we get this, like, montage of panels over the last couple days, like, you standing guard, and then, like, you working in your forge, and then, like, standing guard in, like, bigger armor with, and, like, it just getting bigger and, like, more elaborate over these panels.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Excellent. And then we cut back to present, and we're still focused on Enki, and you're seeing Asimov making these flanking hand signals. What do you do?
I'm going to slowly stand up and launch myself straight at the villain.
Just like diving off the roof?
Yeah. Like split second type. Like I see the hand sign and I'm moving up slowly, but then it's like snap and I'm in the villain's face.
Excellent. Give me a directly engage.
That's a 7.
All right. On a 7 to 9, pick one.
I was asked to flank, so I think I'm creating an opportunity for my allies.
Excellent. Tell me what this looks like as you come flying towards her.
So I blink over there in a second, and I think I do like a one of those fancy staff twirls where I sweep the legs from under her at once.
Okay, excellent. And we get a panel of her hitting the ground with a just audible oof, and I think the man she was holding just hits the ground as well and immediately starts like trying to crawl away and like stumble up to his feet. And then the next panel, she's just gone. And then we see another panel of you looking around a little confused, and there is a blur. And as the blur passes by you, you just get socked right in the face. I think like we actually see you spin hitting the ground with the force of this. And then the blur passes by again. The guy is no longer on panel. And then we get a shot of her like a bit further down the boardwalk, turned, staring at Enki, and she just yells, "Do you even know who you're messing with? They call me Jolene, because in the end, I always get your man." And in the panel behind her, we can see Asimov is behind her back, and she seems to be completely unaware of him.
Not always. I'm going to take the man.
What's that look like? I'm just going to let you do it.
He's just going to go poof.
What's it look like on panel?
The man disappears in digital dust.
Oh my god. And I think we see her spinning to you. And we're going to focus back on Inky for a second. Go ahead and take a powerful blow there for me.
Yeah, I figured I was coming. 7.
On a 7-9, choose one.
I'm going to give ground. I'm going to jump back to where I was.
Okay. Just like retreating for out? I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I'm acting like that was like intentional. I jump in, hit her, and jump away, but I'm a little bit shook.
Okay, excellent. And I think we see Inky scrambling back to his perch, and we, our next panel, we see like past Jolene's shoulder at Brian standing there. And when we turn the page, we get another editor's note said a few days earlier. And Asimov, we see you spending some time in your lab, as you have been the last few days. Do you want to tell us what that's looking like?
The lab is looking a lot cleaner. And by that, I mean a lot less labby.
We see like boxes of things you're getting rid of and such.
You can actually see the walls.
That's wild. All right. People are getting worried. And then we get a panel where you come across some kind of memento from someone in your past. Take a moment and then tell me what the memento was and who in the past it was.
It's a little drone that I just mean like one of those phone controlled drones, but that was made by a friend of mine who died back in Dykstra's first attack.
Oof. All right. And from this, I'm just going to give you a pure choice. How does this affect you? Mechanically, at the end of this, you're either going to take potential, shift your labels, or take a +1 to your first, to your next move.
So I feel like I've finally given this person closure. I guess mechanically that means take a potential. I don't really even know what that means story-wise. Because that normally means, like, learning from something, right?
I mean, for me, I feel like that's a really good way of, like, indicating past failures while also looking towards future successes. And, like, failure is how we advance in this game. So it could even be, like, being reminded of your failure pushes you to be better in the future.
Yeah.
Yes. I guess I could also kind of be saying to myself, that is a mistake I'll never make again.
Yeah. And do you want anything else out of that flashback? Or do we just turn the page and the last panel of you, like, looking at that remote?
I want to toss it in the bin of things I'm getting rid of.
All right. I am excited for where this Asimov arc goes, by the way. Like, what you look like with this new playbook. We then turn the page and we see Asimov, the same shot of Asimov, but where we were looking over Jolene's shoulder, we see just a blur flying straight at Brian. Lighthammer, what do you do?
I don't know if Jolene is faster than a sound wave, but I think I'm gonna do the same kind of thing that I did the last time we were on the boardwalk, where I, like, send a sound wave, like, through the boards of the boardwalk, so it, like, takes the floor out from underneath her. I'm trying to defend Brian. I don't want her to hit Brian.
You just love blowing out floors, don't you?
Yeah, and I imagine, like, we could, like, literally see, like, a side that's, like, new and improved boardwalk. Like, it was just fixed from the last fight.
Cool. Go ahead and roll me a defend.
And that's a 10.
Awesome. On a hit, you keep him safe and choose one.
Do I know what Brian has been doing this past week, where he's, like, been, like, putting away all of the gadgety stuff?
Oh, well, let's see. You called, and I might have said something about it. I remember. But I think I've not been keeping a secret.
I think I'm going to take influence over Brian again.
Okay.
And I'm a little bit worried about this, so I'm going to shift his mundane up, and I think his superior down.
All right.
Like, as this is happening, I'm looking at Brian, and I think Brian gets the moment in my eyes where I'm like, there's a lot of worry for him. And I think it makes it clear that I see him more human and not as strong. Though I think, like, realistically what it is I want him to be more mundane and to, like, be a teenager and not embrace this, like, weird dark side that he has.
Cool. I think we get the panel of you slamming the hammer down and this ripple just barely getting there before Jolene does, and her getting just knocked off course. We see the blur just, like, veer off to the side, I think run through, like, one of those booths that you throw balls at the, like, to try to knock over the little milk jugs. And, like, we hear this crash and then see the blur, like, pull itself to its feet and run off again. And we get that moment of eye contact between you two.
10 points.
Delightful, yes.
And I know Brian can resist that shift if he would like to.
I will accept the shift.
Cool. After that moment of eye contact, I'm just going to, like, rush towards that blur. I don't really know what I'm going to do because I'm not a speedster, but I'm going to try.
Awesome. I think we get the panel of you, like, making eye contact and then running, and our next panel is a focus on your face. We turn the page and we get an editor's note that was a few days ago. And Lighthammer, what have you been up to?
Yeah, so remember that thing where the person who killed my parents suddenly came back into my life yesterday, or a while ago, last session, and doesn't remember who I am in the same capacity that I remember who he is?
That doesn't ring a bell. That sounds like something a monster would do, and we're not monsters.
I've been, like, stalking Greyhammer. I know he's out of town right now with Daisy's team, but I've been, like, I probably, like, broke into his, like, base and, like, probably his apartment, and I've been trying to, like, figure out, like, is this man the villain I think he is?
All right. What label do you think best applies here with what you've been doing?
Probably danger.
Go ahead and give me a roll plus danger then. This is going to be very, very similar to the informational asking you can get with Inky, that Inky was offered.
That should be a -2, not a -1, but it's still a 10.
Y'all's rolls, by the way, calm down. That's all I have to say. All right. What questions do you want to know related to Greyhammer?
Is Greyhammer a villain? Is that too broad a question?
No, because I think you could have followed up on that last session, frankly. I think we get these panels of you in Greyhammer's apartment, and we see you, like, going through a desk, and you find a list of names, and at the top, and a lot of these names have been crossed off, and on it, you find both yours and Daisy's name, several others that haven't been crossed off either. And I think we can see the panic on your face for a bit. And are you okay if you go through his journal? Like, is that a step you would take at this point?
Yeah, last issue we saw me, like, hesitate with Daisy, but with Greyhammer, no fucking question.
And then I think from there, we get the panels of you just going through everything. And we get these snippets of his journal as you're flipping through it. And I'm not going to make up full ass journal entries on the fly, but throughout the course of this, we see a lot of anger and a lot of depression and a lot of focus on the mistakes he made in the past and a slow journey towards making amends for those mistakes. And I think this is where it clicks for you that whatever changed with Null, this Greyhammer worked towards making amends, didn't just let that darkness overtake him.
I want to add a flavor panel to this. One thing that we see is, like, I came to Greyhammer's apartment in, like, a full black outfit, like, black turtleneck, black cap, covering up my perfect hair, maybe even, like, a face mask or, like, sunglasses. Like, I am not inconspicuous in any way, but, like, I am wearing gloves, and, like, this is full, like, yes, I broke into Greyhammer's apartment, but I'm trying really hard not to look like me while I do it. And I think there's, like, a panel where we see me, like, gripping the edges of the journal, like, to the point where, like, it probably leaves a small indent. And then I, like, slam it shut and just, like, shove it back in the drawer. And then I slam the drawer shut. Can I get one of those other names? Like, one of the names that have already been crossed off?
Yeah. In fact, are you okay if, for that, you can just copy down that whole list?
Yeah, sure.
Because that makes me not have to make up a name. That's not the reason cool. at all.
I want to just do some research, and this is my question, is, like, how did Greyhammer make amends to these people?
I think we get, like, you researching some of these people, just random smatterings, and it's mainly, it seems to mainly be families, family members of people he killed during the Golden Scepter events. And in many cases, it's providing money and helping in any way he can there.
I think my biggest question right now, based on the financial thing, is this something that Greyhammer did very publicly, or is this, like, more private? Was this something he did for publicity, or is this something, like, on his personal journey of improvement?
It has been very private. You've basically, since the Golden Scepter events, Greyhammer has made every effort to stay out of the public eye as much as he can.
Cool. I'm gonna mark angry. I think a large part of me is really upset that Greyhammer isn't more, like, mustache twirly villain, because, like, a lot of my drive to become a hero was I want to be a better Lighthammer than Greyhammer was.
Mm-hmm.
Because Greyhammer was a murderer. But, like, suddenly with that and Daisy and the gender stuff I've been going through, I feel like Lighthammer's kind of had the carpet ripped out from him a lot recently. And
that's fair.
I think anger is an easier emotion to process. Like, I think there's probably hopelessness deep underneath it, but, like,
or insecurity.
Honestly, I could probably mark 3 or 4 of these conditions simultaneously.
Yeah, go ahead. That sounds good.
I'm marking angry, and that's going to be it. The surface level one. I don't know that he has the, like, emotional wherewithal to be like, the reason you're feeling angry is because you feel lost and at sea about who you are as a person in, like, 9 different capacities.
Totally fair.
We forget, Lighthammer is still, like, 17 or 18.
Then we turn the page and cut back into our present day. And we get a panel showing the boardwalk, Inky still high up in the building, and Brian down in the boardwalk. And we see the alleyway that Lighthammer had chased Jolene into. We see Jolene zipping back into the boardwalk from another alleyway.
Moon Harbor Heroes is produced by Anthony Sheets, T.B. Huth, and Elliot Peterson, and edited by Anthony Sheets and Sean Geddes. Anthony can be found on Twitter at IcyNewYear or at IcyNewYear.com. T is a theater artist and educator in the D.C. area. She can be found at T.HuthPlaywright on Twitter or T.P.Huth94 on Instagram. Elliot can be found at Elliot Yellen on Twitter. That's E-L-L-I-O-T-Y-L-E-N. Sean can be found at The Crumpet, T-H-E-C-R-U-M-P-I-T, on Twitter. Moon Harbor Heroes is played using Masks A New Generation, written by Brendan Conway and produced by Magpie Games. Our logo was designed by Beautiful Beasties. She can be found on Instagram at beastly.doodles or on Patreon at patreon.com/beautifulbeasties. The music in this issue is Black Vortex by Kevin MacLeod. This issue is GM'd by Anthony Sheets. Asimov is played by EXPHP. You probably won't find him at itsEXPHP on Twitter, but it's worth a try. Enki is played by Simon Meskins. You can find him as at Gilbereka, GILBERREKE, on Twitter. Lighthammer is played by T. Huth. If you want to get a hold of us, email us at moonharborheroes@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at MoonHarborCast. If you enjoyed this issue, please leave us a review on your podcatcher of choice or tell a friend. 5-star reviews and word of mouth are really the best way for us to keep bringing these stories to more people. If you'd like to support us financially, check us out at patreon.com/moonharborheroes. Supporting us there will give you access to bonus issues each month. And thank you for helping us save the world. We'll see you next issue.